With yet another episode of the Girl Have You Read podcast. And today we have a topic that was submitted by friend of the show, Jillian. I'm trying to remember, was that last year that we talked to her?
I think so, yeah. Right when around last us? Girl Have You Met.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It was right after that, yeah. Mm-hmm. So Jillian is friend of the show, and I had asked on Instagram, I'd asked for topic suggestions, and Jillian gave us this suggestion of talking about expectations. And when I saw it, I was like, ooh, you know, mm-hmm. that could be really, really interesting, because the way that we live is fueled by meeting expectations, either mm-hmm. our own or the expectations that others place on us. And so it's been really interesting to kind of think about how that applies in all these different areas. So Jillian's specific question was, or her specific suggestion was, how y'all deal when you meet or exceed your expectations versus when you don't. And I have a tendency to be very hard on myself, very, very hard on myself when I don't meet an expectation of my own, or if I don't meet a goal that I've set for myself. Mm-hmm. And it's like when I talk to my friends, it's very easy for me to be very loving and very warm and supportive with other people. But when it comes to myself, I don't tend to give myself that same grace, I guess.
And so I wonder where that comes from, though. Like, why, like, what makes you just, like, get frustrated or whatever the feeling is when you don't meet whatever the expectation is? Is it just, like, you, like, was it not, is it about the project? Is it, like, what does it make you feel?
It makes me feel like a failure.
which is interesting, because like for me, like my main goal anytime is just to get the project out, like to put something out that I love. So mm-hmm. it's interesting to hear that not meeting those external expectations would make you feel like a failure when my goal usually is just to get the project out, like to get a project out that I'm happy with.
I don't disagree with that, which is what makes it so, it's part of what makes it so weird, because I don't put out anything that I'm not absolutely in love with. Even mm-hmm. if I'm exhausted with the characters, even if I'm sick of looking at them, you know, metaphorically,
right.
sick of looking yeah. at them, even, you know, even with all of that, I love everything that I've put in I love everything that I've put out. If I release it, it means that I feel like I feel good about it if I mm-hmm. put it out. But then I put it out and I have these admittedly lofty goals for how I want it to do on the charts, or mm-hmm. what I want the first day or first week of sales to look like, or what I want the reviews to look like, what I want to hear from, you know, what I want to hear from my audience. And I'm trying to figure out how to phrase this, because I'm speaking from a place of relative privilege, because I'm at a place in my career where if the things that I put out, people typically enjoy. When I put out a book, it typically ranks well on the charts, or mm-hmm. I typically get good reviews. And so I think for people who maybe haven't been writing for as long as I have, or who maybe don't get those things, I probably sound ungrateful, but it's not that I'm not grateful for those things, and it's not that I'm downplaying those things. But at the same time, if I have this goal of I want to break the top 100 on Amazon, and then I get to like 101, and I top at 101. It's I still feel good about that 101. I still feel great about that. I'm still grateful that people supported me enough to get me there. But in the back of my mind, I'm like, what should I have done differently? Mm-hmm. What should I have improved on? What should I have done better that would have gotten me to that point? And so it's just, I don't know, it's frustrating.
I think what happened with me was that Amazon kind of screwed like that those first rankings or those first reviews over for me too many times for me to like get like to stay invested in that part of it, because like that was like the exciting thing, right, to see those first reviews come in, to see that first ranking or whatever. And now like I'm completely jaded to that experience, because there's been times where for whatever reason, I think it was like around Amazon Prime Day, where I published around Amazon Prime Day, and like reviews weren't coming in for a long time, and they were all on Goodreads, but they weren't on Amazon. So I'm like, okay, this is like stupid. I don't want to deal with this site anymore. And then I think it was when our published replacement was where I didn't get a ranking for like days, which I'm like, well, days have passed now. Usually it's that first ranking or those first couple rankings that you see like the peak. And so I was like, well, whatever. Like, I'm over this.
Yeah, and you're right. You're absolutely right, because Amazon, I don't know what they've been doing lately with this review thing, but I did notice. I don't know if it's because I had so much other stuff going on around this later release, the release for Coveted, but I see how many reviews Coveted has, and I'm not like how many it has on Amazon, that is. And I look at it, and I'm like, you know what? Whatever, Amazon.
Right. Because you're just like, it doesn't, that they're always doing something. Like, they're always.
Right. It doesn't even bother me. It doesn't even bother me anymore. I'm thinking about even the release with Wonder. There were reviews, like early reviews that I saw. I read those reviews, and then the next day, they weren't there anymore. So they're still, you know, they're still doing whatever they're doing. And you're absolutely right. It's not something to, it's really not something to take to heart, especially when you have all of these other avenues where readers can get in touch with you and you can see and hear from these people saying how much they enjoyed the book or how it touched them, how it affected them, and all of that. And so it's one of those things where logically, you know, okay, this isn't that big of a deal, or it's like logic and emotion are at war with each other.
This is true.
Like, which one of these things is going to win? Because it's logically, you know, that getting to number 101 out of all of the books on Amazon, logically, you understand that that's a big deal. That's not something to take lightly. But emotionally, it's like, well, I got to 101 last time. I've done that before. I want to do something different. And it's like that childish almost part of you doesn't want to let go of it, even if you're aware of it, even if you see it, even if in real time you can say to yourself, hey, this is not something to feel bad about. This is something to feel good about. It's like you still have that over your shoulder, like, but what about this or what about that? And so it's hard, but you have to keep pushing, because one thing that I can say is even when there have been times where it wasn't about what Amazon did or about the review rankings or whatever, it wasn't even about that stuff, sometimes you get there and you get this book out and you feel like the readers are just not with it. You feel like they're just not, you know, like they don't get it, they're not feeling it, whatever. And that's hard too, you know, hard too when you've put so much into this, and then and it's not really received in the way that you hoped or wanted it to be. But it's really a thing of just pushing forward anyway.
Yeah.
Pushing forward anyway and moving, just moving.
Right. Because it's not like you're going to go back and say, you know what, maybe I should rewrite this book. Or like, you're not going to do that. Like, this is not, it's just not going to happen.
Right.
Unless there's like some super serious editing issues or whatever, where you might do a, like another draft or revision or whatever. But you're typically not going to change the story.
Right.
And so you have to push past that.
Right. It's about moving forward to the next project. Because I know a lot of times for me, once I put something out, like by the time I'm actually getting reviews for it, I've already mentally moved on to the next mm-hmm. project anyway. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's not that you don't care about the book that just came out, but I think that in some ways, once you put it out for public consumption, you have to separate yourself a little bit from it so that you don't mm-hmm. internalize and take it to heart too much, because there are certain things that can kill your spirit. Like, absolutely. I know with, like, people see, I'll use celebrities for this example, or like big time social media personalities, etc. You get a lot of really positive comments, right? You have your fans who love your work, people who, I love the video that you just did, I love the new single, whatever. And you see this, you know, even if you have all these other things to do, even if you have all the money in the world, you see, you're going to see those comments, you're going mm-hmm. to see that love, but you're also gonna see that hate. Like, I mm-hmm. think about Ella Mai. Am I saying her name yeah. right? I don't really
Ella
listen
May,
to her.
I'm not really sure either.
I don't really listen to her music. I'm really bad about listening to new music, period. But I see the type of things that people, like, this stuff gets retweeted into my timeline. Mm-hmm. And I see the type of things,
so
like, the type of ugly things that people uh-huh. say to her. And I know she sees that, too. And it's just, you
I
have to be able to manage that.
Like. Yeah,
exactly. Like, you have to be able to manage stuff like that, because mm-hmm. it's like, no, we're not big time celebrities or anything either. But we get ugly comments. We get, mm-hmm. you know, ugly reviews and stuff like that. And people feel like you should only see the positive and not let the negative affect you. And I feel like that's a thing that's very easy to say when you're not the recipient of it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's exactly what it is.
And it's just, I don't, for me, I know that I used to really heavily internalize stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
When I would get a 1-star or 2-star or 3-star, whatever. And that's not even saying necessarily that a 3-star review is bad. When I would get an ugly 3-star review, I used to internalize that really, really heavily. And now it's like, I see it sometimes. I see it. I see it and I keep it pushing, because you can't let stuff like that, you can't let that infect your mindset. Mm-hmm. You can't let that keep you from moving. I know I keep saying moving forward, but
it's true.
That's
though.
Really,
I mean,
yeah.
Like, stuff like that, when you take in like negative comments like that, it can literally paralyze you in your craft. And
absolutely.
So if you're not writing, you know, whether that's your main source of income or whatever, like those royalty checks will stop if you let somebody else steal your joy around the craft. So you gotta manage it. You definitely
yeah.
have to manage it.
And I think about how, going back to expectations, deviating from the original question, but just going back into expectations, there has been this vibe lately, like specifically towards indies, I think, where, I don't know, it's like we're losing our freedom to create as we want to. I feel like early on in this indie thing, or let me say specifically when I started, I felt like that was part of the beauty of being indie. I can create whatever I want readers are going to approach me with an open mind, but I feel like I see so much of how they want the ending to look and how long they want it to be, mm-hmm. whether or not it's a series, whether or not how fast it should come out if it's a series, or you shouldn't put out a series unless you have all the books written. Just different things that as a reader, I get it. Mm-hmm. You read a book and it's maybe part of a series. You read a book and it's maybe part of a series. You read book one. Yeah, you want to read book two. You mm-hmm. want to read book three. You want to read book four, or however many books are in the series. You want it to be quickly available for you. But I think about before this indie boom kind of happened, how Erin Jerome Dickey wasn't putting out 5 books a year.
Oh,
you
my
know,
God.
Terry McMillan wasn't putting out, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like, you waited.
you definitely waited. Because I remember reading, like, I'm trying to think who it was. I think it was Adrian Berg, who had, like, mm-hmm. this King series or whatever. And I remember in the back of one of the books, it was like, this one won't be coming out until, I mean, it might have been, like, a winter. And they said it would be coming out to, like, the next fall or something. I'm like, well, next fall, I'll be at wherever.
Right.
One at the time to get books. I'll be there. But it was no, like, okay, hurry up. Because I just had to deal with it.
And I feel like it's like, on one hand, you're grateful that people have bought into what you're doing, that they enjoy your work, that they're mm-hmm. excited for more. But on the other hand, it's like, I'm not a robot.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I'm not a robot. And I have this personal life. You have no idea what is going on with people in their personal lives. And I'm not even necessarily, I'm not presenting that as necessarily an excuse, but just something to consider when you're going in on somebody because they haven't put out a book that you want to read. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a lot. And that's another thing that can kind of kill your, like, it can kind of kill your creativity or kill your energy for it when you have to, when you don't get to just create how you want to create, when you have to worry about, okay, if I make this decision in the book, how are readers going to respond to that? If I put this on the cover, how are readers going to respond to that? And it's not saying that these aren't things that you should be considering anyway, because if this is your career, you absolutely should be considering those things anyway. But mm-hmm. when it gets to the point that you feel like you can't create what you want to create because of what someone else created a book that was this, and this. And so now that someone has read that book, they expect your book to fit that same mold. Mm-hmm. And it's just not, I feel like it's not conducive to what this used to look like and what this used to be about, where it was about this freedom and it was about this openness and it was about this exploration. I feel like we're not there anymore.
Mm-hmm. Because something else you said was people complaining about length. And I saw a couple people make different comments, things about it. There being too many novellas right now, not enough novels. And it's like, well, you can't tell the author what they're supposed to be writing or how long it's supposed to be. Like, you just can't. If this couple is only worth a novella to the author, then that's just what it's going to be.
Absolutely.
Like, everything is supposed to be a novel.
Absolutely. And I feel like that's an unfair standard. I feel like, for two, there is always somebody putting out a new novel or mm-hmm. like right. they're like this. The choices are vast. And mm-hmm. I feel like it's unfair to consider a certain medium or a certain length as if it's not worthy specifically because of the length of it. Mm-hmm. I have books that are 3,000 words, or not books, but I have projects that are 3,000 words, and I have projects that are 115,000 words. I have a very big range, and a lot of that range is novellas, because for certain couples, like you said, this is what their story calls for. And if you were to put in those extra words or put in that filler content to get it to a certain place, you get complaints about that too.
Right.
Why is this book was boring? There was too much filler. There was too many words. Like, you would get those, you would see complaints about that too. And so it just makes it.
And I don't know if people realize that, like, Amazon pages are different than, like, book pages. Like, the absolutely. Word, like, the page count that they show you on Amazon is different than what it would actually be in paperback. And so I think sometimes people see that number, whatever it is, and they're like, oh, I don't read books unless there's so-and-so number of pages. And it's like, well, it actually might be if it was in a paperback.
Right. It looks different.
Because of how Amazon algorithms work, they change it.
And my thing is, though, even with that said, there are plenty of stories that can be told within a limited amount of pages. And every story doesn't need this epic saga. And I feel like it's unfair for readers to expect every author to want to do that, first of all, or to expect that from every couple. That's not... is that that's just not the case. And I feel like if we could just be free to have our work judged on what we put out instead of what people wanted us to put out.
Right.
Like that would be great. And this is not me saying that that reader wants or the wants of the audience don't matter. That's not what I'm saying. But there has to be freedom for the author to create how they want to, or you're going to end up with a really homogenous landscape, which is what I think happened with traditional romance publishing.
Right.
You have readers said that they wanted this, and so the publishers created a formula based around what the readers said they wanted, and then every book is adjusted to fit within that formula. Obviously, there's going to be differences in the characters, the character personality, character development, all of that, but it absolutely is a formula, and that's not specific just to romance either. Every genre has a formula, but I see all the time people complain about that formulaic quality in romance. I see people say all the time that that's what they love about being indie or about reading indies. So if that's what you love about reading indies, why are you trying to change it?
Right. Try to make it fit into a box, because that's just, right. It's not going to happen.
It's just you have to. And it's not suggesting that readers have to read something that they don't want to read. They have a preference for longer projects. That's absolutely their prerogative, but I just feel like we have to be careful with telling authors what they should and shouldn't do when it comes to that.
And what they should or shouldn't do with their time. Like,
absolutely.
If you expect, part two of a series to come out within the next month, and I just put out part one, it's like, do you think I'm only going to be at the computer 24 hours a day? Like, there has to be some break time and some, like, if that's your job, that's your job, that's what you're going to do. But there's other things going on in our worlds too, believe it or
not. that goes back to the whole thing of not being a robot. Like, we're not vending machines that you stick money into and get what you want. Like, it doesn't quite work like that. I guess that the vending machine analogy could apply, not specifically to us, but to our catalogs.
It applies, you know what to me, I mean? Because I'm a snack.
That's a good one. But I'm saying, like, we have our catalogs. I have a catalog that's at like 44, 45 books. There's plenty to choose from.
Right.
You don't have to come for me about one that wasn't what you wanted when I have all these others that you can choose from. And that applies mm-hmm. pretty broadly across our genre, you know, right. across the Black romance genre. You don't have to pay for what you don't want. You know, Period. We have, mm-hmm. there's the synopsis and the reviews and all of these things that you, all of these resources that you have available to figure out what you're getting before you get it. And obviously, you know, sometimes the bag of chips says that it's spicy. You get it. You're like, wait a minute, this isn't spicy at all. You know, and right, of course right. there's going to be, you know, there's going to be things like that because it's subjective, but largely we try to make sure that you have the information that you need up front mm-hmm. to make a decision on if you're going to buy into our work or not. But